The word charge appears 18 times in the New Testament. In most cases, it means to command, to instruct, to exhort with authority. Oftentimes when we see words, the way that they are to be taken, the way that they be understood is the way in which they are placed in a sentence. And we will see this. We will see that the charges given in our text, given by the Spirit through the Apostle Paul, are those things of which should be great concern to us. In this lesson, we want to look at some charges given in the Bible. Our text is a rather long one. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 through 21. I invite you to mark your Bibles there, stick a pencil in it, or one of the cards, or maybe even the ribbon or something, because we will be returning to that passage on several occasions, or at least portions of it. As the Apostle Paul oftentimes communicated to Timothy, he did so as the Spirit directed him, knowing that Timothy was a great ally in the kingdom. Knowing also that Timothy was a fellow laborer, a fellow soldier, and possibly at times a fellow prisoner. But Timothy was younger. And oftentimes the wise folks would listen to those that are older, those who had more experience, or those who were there to provide instruction for them, and such as we see the case in our text. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 beginning, we see these words, "I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." As we've looked at that first part of our text, we see here that he's being charged to keep a commandment, but to keep it without spot and unrebukable until such time as the Lord returns. We indeed do not know when that will be. But we see in verse 15, "which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach into, unto whom no man can see, or hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." This is, in fact, one charge to Timothy, and we'll talk about it. We're also going to talk about that which is found in verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And finally, the latter part of our text, verses 20 and 21, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professed have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." We've seen several charges mentioned here in this particular portion of the Scripture, but we want to point out a couple of them this evening. First, let's look at the charge to preach the Word. This is a charge that was needed in the day of Timothy. It's a charge that is needed today. We are to charge our young men to preach the Word. As you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, we see that though Paul was to die for preaching the Word, the Spirit had Paul to charge Timothy also to preach the Word of God. Notice how this is directed toward him. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." These young men that are coming out of the preacher's training schools today, if they are taught this one thing and this one thing alone, they would be better suited than many of them come out being. This charge, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient. It's a charge that is necessary. The passage also shows the urgency of the charge in season and out of season. When it is convenient means when there are people there that are wanting to hear you. The things that you have to say. The things that are easily entreated. But what about the hard things? When you have to preach the truth and people say, I don't know if I like that. We'll preach it anyway. What about when they have to preach the truth and they have to worry about their job? We'll preach it anyway. You're not working for the church. You're working for the Lord. You're preaching because it is the Word of God. It's a charge that needs to be continual even in this day. Paul also felt his responsibility in this regard. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 16, we see that not only was he instructing Timothy as he was guided by the Spirit, but that instruction also applied to him. And oftentimes people fail to realize that the words of the preacher, even though they go forth out of the preacher's mouth, they apply much to the preacher as they do to the audience. The same was true with Paul. He says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That is what is to be preached. The gospel. The power of God unto salvation. In fact, if you stop and look at it, the only reason that we have the gospel is because Jesus Christ came to die upon Calvary's cross to provide the means for salvation for humanity. And the gospel is that which will bring them to an understanding of what they ought to do. Jesus himself even said this, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. This is that same gospel that Paul would carry to the Romans and to the Corinthians and to the Colossians and everywhere he went. But notice he said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He felt the responsibility. I often am perplexed in hearing men say, when they are still able-bodied, when they are still able to function, they say, well, I've decided to retire from preaching. Now, does that mean that they're no longer going to fill the pulpit, even on occasion? I think that shouldn't be the way that it's stated. This charge is important. In fact, every preacher, any man that endeavors to preach the gospel, he ought not to retire until he expires. In other words, continue faithfully in this until he leaves this earth or until he's physically unable to do so or the Lord returns. Now, as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, we'll see that this is also the attitude of the Apostle Paul. Many times people preach for their own glory. And I'm talking about men who are preachers, those, and unfortunately in some cases, in some situations, women. They preach so that they can be lifted up. But what did Paul say here? For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yet woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He knew that the preaching of the gospel being God's power, not his power, that God was to receive the glory, not the speaker, just as he wrote to the Corinthian brethren that he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In fact, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, we see that he realized that even though his life was in danger, that this charge to preach the Word of God was of utmost importance. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It was important to Paul, and it should be important to Timothy, and in fact it should be important to all who endeavor to proclaim the Word of God to others. We have several scriptures that show the importance of preaching the Word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. We see a passage here that tells us the necessity of preaching, or the importance of preaching, Notice that we began in reading this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That, again, means more than just to evoke the name of God. What does it mean? We see that they must believe. They must do the things that they are taught according to the word of God. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, it's a sad, sad truth that today, without someone to proclaim the word to people, they don't come in contact with the word. What I'm saying is there's not enough people that read. We're going to talk about a charge to read the scriptures here in a little bit. But we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 what the world calls preaching. And what God knew that the world would call it. He says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How is it that they believe? They heard, usually because a preacher took this charge seriously. And says, I'm going to proclaim the gospel. Furthermore, we have a charge to teach and preach no other doctrine. I am so saddened when I go on to websites and listen to the gospel, as they put it, and listen to what people sometimes call gospel preaching, which is no more than fairy tales, which are no more than stories, anecdotes to prove a point. We've got to also make sure that that which we proclaim is the truth. Or as they say in the court, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Now that last phrase is of utmost importance. We are to teach no other doctrine. This same charge was given to Timothy. We'll see in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, as the Apostle Paul was directed to write unto him, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, he said to him, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, notice what he charged him with, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. It was important for Timothy to preach the truth, but also to charge others that they preach no other doctrine. Why? It's because the things that are taught to people is that which is passed on and committed to others. And it takes just a little bit of error that is ignored for a whole congregation to go astray. It takes just a little bit of false teaching for a whole congregation to become apostate. It takes just a little bit of false teaching for souls to begin a journey blindly toward condemnation. These same things taught by others were to be committed to others. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Notice that the things that are to be passed on, the things that are to be committed to others, are specified. It is the very things that Timothy would hear from the Apostle Paul. And know this, and know it well. When I get up here and I prepare a lesson, and sometimes because of my bifocals I lose my place on my paper, and sometimes, for whatever reason, I write down something and say something else. I make mistakes. The Apostle Paul did not make mistakes. The reason for that is the words that were given to him directly of the Spirit. And there were no mistakes in it. I remember the first time that I got up at the insistence of my father-in-law to preach. He took me over to the building. He says, are you interested in preaching, you think? And I said, yeah, I think I'd like to give it a try. And he said, okay, let's go over to the building. Excuse me? Come on. When he said, come on, you went. So I went. We got to the building. He sat in the back. He said, get up there and preach. I don't know what to say. He said, okay, this is your first lesson. Don't ever get up in the pulpit unless you know what you're going to say. And I made a huge mistake. I says, but O.D., you don't ever have an outline. And he said, that's where you make a mistake. Don't you ever get up in the pulpit unless you have an outline that you know what you're going to say. And just because I don't have it written down does not mean I don't have an outline. The things that are heard from the pulpit are those things which are going to be committed to others. The Apostle Paul didn't make any mistakes. Therefore, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, keep in mind, the Apostle Paul received his information directly from the Spirit, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Over a period of time, we find that these same things that were delivered to the Apostle Paul were written down and recorded as God directed, and thankfully we still have them with us today. So we can pass this very same thing on. Commit it to faithful men who will teach others also. In fact, we know, according to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that God's displeasure is upon all who would preach another gospel. All too often we hear people say, well, you know, it's close enough. I actually heard one preacher one time, and one of his favorite sayings was, I just want you to get the gist of it. I don't want you to get the gist of anything I say. I want you to know exactly what it is and exactly where it comes from. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians brethren, says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. And here is the key, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Don't commit that to other people, because they're going to be cursed, and the people that follow them will be equally cursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Gets us to the idea and the understanding of why we have book, chapter, and verse preaching. Somebody has told me one time, you know, you use too much scripture. Say what? The truth of the matter is, you don't know where to find it in the Bible. Or maybe I just call out the scripture and go ahead and start reading it. But you can't use too much scripture. It's what will save us. It is what helps us understand. It is what qualifies what we say. 2 John chapter, well, only one chapter. I do that every time. 2 John verses 9 through 11. We'll also see the importance of not preaching any other gospel. And in addition to that, not supporting those that do so. Notice what the scripture says on this. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Well, they're standing in the pulpit, aren't they? They're preaching, aren't they? That's not the qualifying. That's not what qualifies. If you abide not in the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And then we see, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, listen, and listen closely, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God's feet. Why? For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. If you support them, you might as well follow them. We find also in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, that God's displeasure is noted to those who would preach another gospel, or those who will add to, or those who will take away. It's important for us to realize and understand time and time and time again, God has told us, I have given you the truth. The truth can make you, will make you free. You must follow it. Notice what he said to those seven churches there in Asia Minor. He says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You want to be afraid? Go read the plagues. Read the vials. And the things that were opened, and the things that are said relative to the events in that time. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's the most scary part of all, isn't it? And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Well, the truth of the matter is, regardless of the warnings of God, regardless of the fidelity of the preachers who preach the truth and continue to stand in the truth, there will be some who will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And that has been a fact since the beginning. There were those who did not believe Jesus Christ. There are those who did not believe the ambassadors of Christ, the apostles. There are those who will not believe regardless. And here's why. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, what do they want then? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Tell us something that sounds good, preacher. Make us happy. The only way we're truly going to be happy is if we take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. Is it going to be easy? Nobody said it was going to be easy. But you want happy or you want easy? Your choice. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Notice another charge to Timothy. He didn't use the word charge, but he gave him this directive. He gave him this instruction so that he might know how he could be pleasing to God. And also so he could carry out the work of God. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Listen, that is God's formula for success. Continue in them. When people put forth the doctrines of men, and then they want to continue to worship, according to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, we find that it renders the worship vain. Notice what Jesus said. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Therefore it is important for us to preach and teach no other gospel. We have a charge to teach and preach no other doctrine. We also have a charge to read the scriptures. I said before, and I probably mentioned it at other times, that the small dose of truth that people receive is often received because they assemble together and they sit in the pew. Because when they leave and they go home, their Bible is not touched. I know a fella from years ago whose Bible was faded. The reason that the front cover of his Bible was faded is because after services on Sunday, it went on the back dash of his car and it laid there all week long. Now, that's not to say he didn't have another Bible. But doesn't the question come into your mind? We are charged to read the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 27. We see that the charge was not given to an individual here, but to the whole congregation. It's not just the preacher's job to read the Scriptures and know what they say and to put forth the words of the gospel, direct them to the people. It's not just the elders. It is every Christian's individual responsibility to read the Word of God. I charge you by the Lord, let that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, we see that the congregations of Colossae and Laodicea were given the same orders. We do not have a letter other than the brief letter that was written in the book of Revelation to the church at Laodicea, but we know that they received the truth that was given by the Spirit. When we see in Colossians 4:16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. The instruction was important. Today, we are also to give attention to reading. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing as the Spirit directed him to this young preacher Timothy, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Listen, Paul could teach Timothy everything he needed to know, right? But what did Paul tell him? Till I come, give attention or attendance to reading. to exhortation, to doctrine. You, the only place you're going to find doctrine is in God's Word, true doctrine. We see in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 that a person is blessed or happy is he that reads and heeds and properly applies what is found in the Bible. Notice the words there. Blessed is he that readeth, E-T-H. We've discussed this and we know that in the King James, when you see that, it means a continual and ongoing action. Well, I've already read the Bible. Well, good for you. Do you know what it says? I've read many books over the course of my life. I've studied many subjects. But some of them I couldn't tell you anything about the book except it had a hardcover on one side and a hardcover on the other side and pages in the middle. You know why? Because I didn't read them enough. I didn't remain in them. I didn't continue to study them. But we can't afford not to do that when it comes to the Bible. Blessed is he that readeth, and they hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It was important for them to understand that we not only read it, but we do it. We keep it. And the same thing is true to us today. Also, we have in God's Word a charge to them that are rich. And I know what's going through a lot of people's mind right now. That ain't me. A lot of people, when you say, well, so-and-so is rich, we have the benefit of living in one of the most prosperous nations in the world. We have freedoms that are unheard of in some places. And just because we don't have the certain number of coins that we would like to have that we would equate to being rich doesn't mean we're not rich. Notice what the rich are to do. Timothy was told to charge them in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Look at me. There was a certain man. He had done pretty well for himself. In fact, he had done so well for himself, he says, I don't have the barns that are capable of holding my goods. So I'm going to tear down barns. I'm going to build new barns, bigger barns, better barns. I'm going to store all my stuff and I'm going to sit back and kick up my feet and say, I can coast from here on out. Two words that apply and that would apply to anybody that had that idea or attitude is thou fool. Be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Oftentimes people say, look what I've done. Look what I've built. Look at my assets. They don't mean a thing. Men are told to lay up treasures where moth and rust do not corrupt. Those who are high-minded depend upon their treasures where moth and rust do corrupt. Notice verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Those who get all they can, count all they get and set on the can, all they're going to have is a rusty old can. And guess what? It's going to be passed down to somebody else because you can't take it with you. Be not high-minded. Trust not in uncertain riches. In other words, don't trust in those things which cannot help you. At the judgment bar of God, there will not be an accounting of your bank account. Banks make accounts, and the monies that are in those accounts are gone. But we can do good. We can be rich in good works. And we don't have to be rich money in order to be able to be rich in good works. We can be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Well, I don't have anything. Listen, if you've got a knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, you got everything you need. You got a mouth. You can talk. Willing to communicate. and in so doing lay up a good foundation. We also have a charge to observe these things without partiality. What does that mean? You know, Timothy was giving this charge. He was given this charge in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. And notice the way that it is stated here so that we might fully understand it. It says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Somebody comes to you and say, you know what, I'm rich. I can buy the church a lot of things. Just put me on the roll. Sorry. You can't be a member of the body of Christ unless you're obedient. No amount of money is going to do this. We've got to understand that just like God, we can't be a respecter of persons. A rich person, a poor person. An old person, a young person. Any kind of thing that you want to ascribe to people, if they will get out of their own way and look to God, we'll see that God has provided salvation for them. In fact, we see in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 that very thing. And Peter had to be convinced, even after seeing the sheet lowered down and all manner of four-footed beasts in it, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Nothing common nor unclean hath entered my mouth. And he still didn't get it. But then, as this was revealed unto him, he opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, the Gentiles too have right to salvation. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is one of the best passages relative to this particular point. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Then he explains the situation. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and ye become judges of evil thoughts? It's kind of like this. If a man walked into a car dealership and had on a pair of dirty bib overalls and flannel shirt, he said, I want to buy a car. The salesman says, you can't afford a car. He said, okay. Walked across the street to the other dealership and said, can I afford a car here? He said, if you got the money, you can afford the car. Guess which one he bought? When people come wanting the truth, we're to provide them the truth. We're not to have respect because of somebody's attire or because of what they've been able to amass while here on the earth. And here's the question. If the God we serve receives the poor, receives the uneducated, receives those of all races, provided they follow the Word of God, can we do less? No. Finally, we have a charge to keep this commandment without spot. Young Timothy received this charge, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Specifically, going to verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, what he was saying was the same thing that we find in James chapter 1 and verse 27, that we are to keep this our life consistent with the teachings of the Word of God, keeping it without spot or keeping it unrebukable. What does James 1:27 say? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. I don't know how many times I've heard that. You know what pure religion is? It's to visit the fathers and the childless or the widows in their affliction. But wait a minute, I think it says a little more than that. Look at the last phrase. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. I suspect we could probably go into the Word of God and find many other charges, but these five, I think, are enough for us to begin with. And if we begin right now, as this year is still fairly new, and I know that most of us have broken our New Year's resolutions. I know I have. I haven't exercised once. But we can make a new one right here. Keep the charge the charges that we find in the Word of God and know that we will truly be blessed. Christianity comes with great blessings, but it also comes with great responsibilities and solemn charges. Will you accept them? Will you be a faithful servant of God? Understand this, that before you can be a faithful servant of God, you've got to belong to God. What do I mean by that? You have to become a child of God. Again, Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, one must hear. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We must also believe. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice that the two are coupled together. You can't have one without the other. Believe and don't be baptized, will you be saved? No. Be baptized and not believe, will you be saved? No. We must also repent. Acts 2:38. That's the first thing that Peter told them as he was directed by the Spirit when they realized they crucified the Son of God. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. We're also taught in Romans 10:9 that one is to confess. And as Acts 2:38 teaches, 1 Peter 3:21 also teaches that baptism is essential. It is a requirement for salvation. And then we must live faithfully until death. In fact, 2 Peter 2, verse 21 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment. In fact, there's another way of saying this, not a better way, but another way. It would have been better had you never been born, because you've not kept the charges that the Bible has laid out for us. And you're not going to accept that reward. In fact, if you have obeyed the gospel and you have allowed sin to reign in your life, not keeping the charges that has been provided for us, then know that your condition is dire. But know also that God loves you and He's provided the means of escape, that if you return to Him as His child in repentance and prayer, He will accept you. Tonight, if you need to obey the gospel, we urge you to come as we open our song books and sing the selected song. At this time now, let us stand and let us sing.